A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel wrote in with a whole thing about Carl Pilkington this week. He says, An Idiot Abroad is one of his favorite comedic influences, and he laid out the premise pretty carefully. The producers send Carl to exotic locations, specifically because he hates leaving his comfort zone. It's reality TV where the producers exploit that stubbornness for comedy, but layered underneath is something more interesting. A man with a restricted worldview gets exposed to enough of the world that he grows, almost against his will. Daniel says he sees himself in Carl's shoes, and he loved that it worked as travel journalism too. His actual question is, what else blends comedy with personal storytelling and documentary in that specific way?
Before we get to recommendations, I want to sit with why the show works, because most people get it wrong. The surface read is that it's a man being miserable in beautiful places and we laugh at him. That's true, but it isn't why the show lasted.
The misery is the engine, not the point.
Right. The show ran from 2010 to 2012, three series, and the structure was deceptively simple. Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, who had already spent years on the XFM radio show with Carl before any of this, sent him to the Seven Wonders of the World in Series 2, for example. The Great Wall of China, the Pyramids, Petra. And the comedy isn't Carl mocking these places. Carl is rarely mean-spirited. He's overwhelmed, he's baffled, he's homesick. The gap between what he expects and what he finds is where the humor lives.
And the producers are visible. That's the structural thing nobody talks about enough. In most reality TV, the manipulation is hidden. You're supposed to believe it's all organic. Here, Gervais and Merchant are on the phone, openly laughing at what they've done to him. The cruelty is the format. We're invited to laugh, and then we're invited to feel slightly weird about laughing.
Which is a much more sophisticated comedic contract than people give it credit for. The show says, we're doing this to him, you're watching us do it, and you're complicit. That isn't a standard travel show. That's a constructed reality format with the scaffolding left visible.
And Carl is never performing. That's the other half. He's suffering. You can see it in the China episode, where he gets to the Great Wall, and for about 90 seconds the cynicism drops, and he's actually moved by the scale of it. Then he immediately undercuts it with some observation about how it's just a big wall, and you wouldn't want to walk the whole thing. The growth happens in the cracks.
I think that's the part Daniel is responding to when he says he sees himself in Carl. The show doesn't present Carl's comfort zone attachment as a flaw to be cured. It presents it as a legitimate, if limiting, way of being. Carl isn't wrong to want his own bed and his own routine. He's just missing things. And the show's quiet argument is that growth doesn't require transformation. It requires exposure. Carl doesn't become a different person. He accumulates experiences that his existing framework has to stretch to accommodate.
That's a unusual thing for a comedy show to argue. Most formats want the redemption arc. The grumpy person learns to love the world and becomes a better person. Carl never becomes a world traveler. He goes home, and the next series he's just as reluctant. But he's carrying the Great Wall with him. He's carrying the pyramids. The framework is dented, not destroyed.
And that's why it works as travel journalism, which is the part that surprises people. Precisely because Carl is a reluctant tourist, the show captures things glossy travel shows miss. The friction between expectation and reality. The absurdity of tourism itself. The way locals react to a baffled British man rather than a polished presenter. Michael Palin is wonderful, but Michael Palin is performing enthusiasm. That's his job. Carl can't perform enthusiasm, which means when he does react, it lands with enormous force.
The authenticity is the product. Discomfort is proof of authenticity. That's the formula.
So let's take the machinery apart properly, because if we're going to find other shows that do this, we need to know what the machinery is. Three layers. Layer 1, the producer-driven premise. Gervais and Merchant select the destinations and activities specifically to maximize Carl's discomfort. The camel ride, the Chinese street food, the tiny hotel rooms. The manipulation is the first ingredient.
Layer 2, the authentic reactions. Carl isn't scripted. He was a radio producer, not a performer. He had no ambition to be on camera. The consistency of his reactions across years of unscripted content suggests this is how he processes the world. That's the second ingredient. If he were acting, the show would collapse.
And layer 3, the documentary scaffolding. Real locations, real cultural encounters, real logistics. The show actually goes to these places, and Carl actually does these things. The chaos is structured. Without that scaffolding, it's just a man complaining in a studio.
So the formula is reluctant participant plus producer manipulation plus authentic reactions, held together by real documentary travel. That's the specific thing Daniel is asking about. Not just comedian goes to a country and makes jokes. That's a different genre.
And most comedian-fronted travel shows don't replicate this. Jack Whitehall traveling with his father, for example. That's a comedian doing comedy bits in exotic locations. The travel is a backdrop. The comedy is the point. An Idiot Abroad inverts it. The travel is the point, and the comedy is a byproduct of a specific personality colliding with the world.
The misconception is that these are just travel shows with a comedian attached. The genre actually requires the structural choice. The producer manipulation, the reluctant participant, the authentic reactions. Most shows miss one of the three.
So now the question becomes, who else has actually pulled this off? And the answer is, not many. The genre is rare because it requires a presenter willing to be vulnerable on camera, not performing vulnerability, actually experiencing it. Carl worked because he was too stubborn to perform anything. Most presenters are too polished to generate this kind of content.
The first show that comes close is The Misadventures of Ramesh Ranganathan. BBC Two, started in 2018, still going. Ramesh is a self-deprecating comedian who visits destinations that aren't typical tourist spots. Venezuela, Madagascar, Ethiopia. The comedy comes from his visible discomfort and his honest, often anxious reactions.
And he's curious, which is the key difference from Carl. Ramesh wants to understand these places. He isn't being dragged. He chose to go. The show's arc is more straightforwardly positive. He goes somewhere intimidating, he's scared, he meets people, he's moved, he goes home. That's a warmer show.
But it's less dramatically interesting. Carl's destinations are chosen for him by people who know exactly what he'll hate. Ramesh chooses his own destinations, which means the discomfort is self-imposed rather than externally imposed. The manipulation layer is missing.
The Sri Lanka episode is where Ramesh's show does something special, though. Ramesh is Sri Lankan, British. His father was from Sri Lanka. He visits the country and confronts the gap between his family's history and the present-day reality. That's personal storytelling layered onto documentary travel in a way that An Idiot Abroad never attempted. Carl's show is about a man being himself in the world. Ramesh's show, at its best, is about a man discovering what his heritage means in the world.
And that's a different kind of growth. Carl's growth is grudging and small. Ramesh's growth is more explicit. He's processing identity on camera. It's still authentic, but it's a different flavor of authentic.
The show that most closely replicates the An Idiot Abroad formula is actually a new one. Zero Stars 2026 TLC. Sarah Pascoe and Roy Zinconaty stay in the worst-reviewed hotels and travel experiences they can find. The premise is deliberate discomfort. They're seeking out the misery.
Which inverts the manipulation. Carl's producers chose his misery for him. Sarah and Roy Zen choose their own. The discomfort is self-inflicted rather than producer-imposed. But the mechanic is the same. The comedy comes from the gap between the marketing and the reality. The hotel website promises luxury. The actual hotel has mold on the ceiling.
And the personal storytelling emerges from how each woman's different personality handles the same misery. Sarah is analytical, Royzen is more chaotic. They react differently to the same terrible breakfast buffet. That's the character study layer. The travel is a vehicle for self-revelation.
The broader pattern across all these shows is a willingness to let the presenter be the butt of the joke. The comedy isn't in the destination. It's in the presenter's inability to perform the role of happy traveler. That's the opposite of traditional travel journalism, where the presenter's enthusiasm is the product.
Michael Palin sells enthusiasm. Carl Pilkington sells the refusal to be enthusiastic. Ramesh sells honest fear. Sarah and Roizen sell the gap between expectation and reality. The common thread is that the presenter's authenticity is the product, and discomfort is the proof of authenticity.
And the personal storytelling layer is what separates the good ones from the forgettable ones. Carl's working-class Northern English pragmatism. Ramesh's complicated relationship with his heritage. Sarah and Roizen's different approaches to anxiety and control. The best shows work because the presenter's reactions reveal something true about who they are.
That's why the genre is so rare. You need a presenter who's willing to be vulnerable on camera, not performing vulnerability, actually experiencing it. And most people who go into television are, by definition, people who are comfortable being watched. Carl Pilkington was a radio producer with no ambition to be on camera. He was drafted. That isn't a normal casting process.
The supply of people willing to be miserable on camera is limited, and the supply of producers willing to push someone to the edge of breakdown for comedy is even more limited. That's the other constraint. Gervais and Merchant got away with it because they had a decade of friendship with Carl before the show. They knew exactly where the line was.
And they still crossed it sometimes. The China episode, Carl is overwhelmed. There are moments where you can see he isn't having a good time in a way that isn't funny. The show holds the shot anyway.
That's the ethical question the show raises and never answers. Is this exploitation? Yes, obviously. Does Carl benefit? Arguably, yes. He got a career out of it. He got to see the world. Whether he wanted to is a different question.
I think the show works because Carl's stubbornness is stronger than his capacity for breakdown. He complains, but he never breaks. He endures. That's the thing that makes the comedy feel earned rather than cruel. If Carl had collapsed in Bangkok, the show would have been canceled, and we'd be having a very different conversation.
Hold on. That's a very specific example.
Bangkok. I just picked a city. The point is, the show's ethical gamble paid off because Carl is resilient. His misery is real, but so is his ability to absorb it and keep going. That's what makes him a compelling protagonist rather than a victim.
And that's the thing Daniel is responding to when he says he sees himself in Carl. Daniel is someone who has a hard time getting out of his comfort zone. He's written about this before. The show tells him that this trait isn't a flaw to be cured. It's a framework. They can stretch.
The growth arc in An Idiot Abroad isn't a redemption arc. Carl doesn't become a world traveler. He doesn't learn to love change. He goes home and he's the same person. But he's accumulated experiences that his existing framework has to accommodate. The Great Wall is in there now. The pyramids are in there. He's bigger on the inside.
That's a lovely way to put it. He's bigger on the inside.
It's the Doctor Who thing, the TARDIS. Small on the outside, enormous on the inside. Carl is a TARDIS.
I'm not going to let you compare Carl Pilkington to the TARDIS without noting that the TARDIS is supposed to be a time machine, and Carl would probably complain that time travel is just a way to avoid being in the present.
He'd absolutely complain about that. He'd say, why would I want to go to the past? The past is where all the old stuff is. And then he'd go to the past and be moved by something and immediately undercut it.
That's the formula. The undercut is the signature. Every genuine moment of awe is followed by a mundane observation that brings it back down to earth. The Great Wall is amazing, but you wouldn't want to walk the whole thing. The pyramids are incredible, but the gift shop is overpriced.
And that isn't cynicism. That's a defense mechanism. The undercut is how Carl protects himself from being overwhelmed. He reaches for the mundane because the sublime is too much. That's a very human thing.
Which is why the show resonates beyond comedy. It's about a man who's afraid of being changed by the world. And the world changes him anyway, and he pretends it has not. That's a universal experience.
And that's the thing to look for in other shows. Not just comedian travels to a place and makes jokes. But comedian travels to a place, is changed by it, and pretends not to be. The pretense is the comedy. The change is the documentary.
Ramesh doesn't pretend. That's the difference. Ramesh is honest about being changed. He says, I was scared of this place and now I'm not. Carl would never say that. Carl would say, it was all right, but the flight was long.
Sarah and Roizen are somewhere in between. They're honest about being miserable, but they're also honest about the moments of genuine connection. The terrible hotel has a lovely owner. The awful restaurant has one good dish. The show finds the humanity in the misery.
That's the other thing An Idiot Abroad does that people miss. Carl isn't mean about the places he visits. He's baffled. He's overwhelmed. But he's rarely contemptuous. The comedy comes from the gap between his expectations and reality, not from contempt for the cultures he encounters.
That's the misconception that drives me mad. People remember Carl as a man being rude about other countries. He's not. He's a man being honest about his own limitations. The joke is on Carl, not on the places he visits.
There's a moment in the India episode where he's moved by the Taj Mahal. He says something like, "It's better than the pictures," and then he immediately talks about how the queue was long. But the moment happened. The show captured it.
That's the travel journalism angle. A glossy travel show would have spent 10 minutes on the Taj Mahal with sweeping music and a presenter saying it's breathtaking. Carl says it's better than the pictures and moves on, which is more honest.
The friction between expectation and reality is the story. Glossy travel shows pretend there's no friction. Carl's show is entirely friction. That's what makes it good journalism.
The recommendation landscape is small but real. Ramesh Ranganathan for the warmer, more identity-focused version, 0 stars for the self-inflicted discomfort version. And An Idiot Abroad remains the template because it's the only one where the manipulation is external and visible.
The only one where the protagonist never chose to be there. That's the thing. Ramesh chose his destinations. Sara and Roizan chose the terrible hotels. Carl was sent. He was drafted. That's a fundamentally different dynamic.
Which is why the show is so hard to replicate. You can't manufacture that kind of reluctant authenticity. You have to find someone who doesn't want to be on camera and then convince them to be on camera for years. That's a one-time thing.
Carl Pilkington is an accidental protagonist. He had no ambitions to be on camera. He was a radio producer who happened to have a worldview that was funny when exposed to the world. That's lightning in a bottle.
Daniel's question is essentially, where else did lightning strike? The honest answer is, not many places. But the places where it did strike are worth watching.
I worked on a show like this once, late 90s. Low-budget thing called Pint-Sized Planet. The presenter was a former children's TV star named Trevor. Trevor had a genuine phobia of flying. Couldn't get on a plane, so the producers built the entire show around it. They sent him to places that required increasingly convoluted travel arrangements. Ferries, trains, cargo ships. The pitch was, see the world without leaving the ground. The reality was, watch a man slowly unravel.
That's the same mechanic. The phobia is the engine.
It was, and it worked for about 4 episodes. Trevor was funny when he was mildly uncomfortable. The ferry to France, the sleeper train to Prague. He complained, but he coped. Then they sent him to Bangkok. That required a cargo ship from Rotterdam. 3 weeks at sea. By the time he got there, he wasn't funny anymore. He was just broken. He had a breakdown on camera in a hotel room in Bangkok, full collapse, crying, saying he couldn't do it, saying he wanted to go home. The footage was deemed too real to broadcast. The show was canceled after 6 episodes.
Too real to broadcast. That's the line, is it not? An Idiot Abroad stayed on the right side of that line. Carl's misery was real, but it never tipped into breakdown.
Trevor tipped. And the strange thing is, he says that breakdown was the best thing that ever happened to him. He never flew again, but he stopped pretending he was fine. He runs a canal boat tour company in Birmingham now. I see him at industry events sometimes. He calls Bangkok the day he got his life back.
The show broke him, and the breaking was the thing he needed.
That's what I've never been able to work out. Did the producers accidentally do him a favor? Or did they just get lucky that his stubbornness was stronger than his capacity for breakdown? Carl Pilkington's stubbornness was stronger. Trevor's was not. Same format, different outcome.
The difference isn't the format, it's the person. Carl could absorb the misery and keep going. Trevor could not. The show didn't know which one it had until it was too late.
That's the ethical gamble. The format is inherently exploitative. The exploitation is the point. And whether it produces growth or breakdown depends entirely on the resilience of the person being exploited.
I've never been able to watch An Idiot Abroad without thinking about Trevor. Everyone is laughing, and I'm thinking, this is the same show, he just held it together longer.
That's a complicating thought. We've been talking about the growth arc as if it's inevitable. It's not. It's contingent on the specific person.
The specific producers. Gervais and Merchant had a decade of friendship with Carl. They knew him. The Pint-Sized Planet producers had a former children's TV star with a phobia. They didn't know him. They just had a format.
They had a format and a deadline. That's all most television is.
The thing I keep thinking about is what you said about Trevor calling Bangkok the day he got his life back. That suggests the breakdown wasn't the end of the growth. It was the beginning. He stopped pretending. Carl never stopped pretending. Carl's whole thing is the pretense, the undercut, the refusal to admit he was moved.
Which is the better outcome? Trevor, who broke and rebuilt himself, or Carl, who never broke and just accumulated dents?
I don't know. Trevor seems happier. But Carl made better television.
That's the uncomfortable truth. The show wants Carl to be dented, not broken. Broken is bad television. Dented is great television. The producers are aiming for dents.
They got lucky. Carl's stubbornness produced dents. Trevor's phobia produced a break. Same aim, different result.
I should get home. I have a thing.
One more thing before you go. The Canal Boat Company in Birmingham. Does Trevor ever talk about the show with his customers?
He doesn't mention it. He has a small sign on the boat that says, "No flights required, that's all."
No flights required. That's the whole philosophy in three words.
It is. He's happy. That's the strange part. He's happy.
Maybe the breakdown was the growth. Maybe that's the thing an idiot abroad never quite shows. Carl gets dented, Trevor got broken, and the broken one ended up happier.
That's the open question, is it not? Is the reluctant traveler format inherently exploitative, or is the exploitation the point? And does it matter if the result is revealing?
I think it does matter. The format is a gamble. You're betting that the person you send into the world will be dented, not broken, and you can't know which one you have until it's too late.
The future of the genre depends on finding more people like Carl. People who are stubborn enough to endure, vulnerable enough to be moved, and oblivious enough not to perform. That's a narrow window.
The supply of people willing to be miserable on camera is limited. And as audiences become more skeptical of polished content, the demand for authentic discomfort is growing. The market is hungry for real reactions, but the people who can provide them are, by definition, people who don't want to be on camera.
The one thing I'll take from this is that the shows that work in this genre succeed because they accidentally reveal something true about the presenter. And the best ones are the ones where the presenter doesn't realize they're being revealed. Carl never knew he was growing. He thought he was just surviving. That's what made it real.
Trevor knew. That's the difference. Trevor knew he was breaking, and the knowing changed him. Carl never knew he was changing, so the change happened in the cracks. Both are real growth. Only one makes good television.
The open question is whether we'll ever see another Carl Pilkington. Someone who's drafted, not self-selected. Someone whose growth is invisible to themselves. The format demands it, but the industry can't manufacture it.
That's the thing to watch for. If someone cracks that, if someone finds another accidental protagonist, the genre will explode. Until then, we have three series of An Idiot Abroad, a handful of Ramesh Ranganathan episodes, and zero stars. That's the whole genre.
Thanks to Hilbert Flumintop for producing. This has been My Weird Prompts. Email us at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.